It's time for slam.
We back. Welcome to another episode of the Highline Podcast. As usual, you can tell it's me, voice of reason, voice of truth, as proven by recent occurrences. It's another...
On which one?
On basketball, of course.
Okay.
It's another episode with Just Fonto, no Uzoko Jachi this time. They're both cowards. I messaged both of them after Brighton spooned Man United. And they were like, oh, I'm busy. And all of a sudden, they're messaging me, oh, I'm interested. I want to come on this episode. Oh, hell no. hell no. But yes, another episode with Fonto. Thank you for coming.
I think this show is turning into a haters fest, more or less.
How?
People are coming on to hate.
Exactly. Jachi, that's for you. A prime hater.
Okay.
There's no better or in my situation, worst case to start than Arsenal, Tottenham, and the top four race. It's all but over for Arsenal.
Are you sure?
It was in our hands. They bottled it. It's not even just the Newcastle game. It's the Newcastle game. It's the Brighton game. It's the Southampton game. It's the Crystal Palace game. It's...
My question is,
I don't even know.
Why is everyone mentioning those three games, honestly? Why do people mention those games as... Like, you lost three games, fine, that you were expected to win. But you won three games that you were not expected to win.
Not expected to win. We're better than West Ham. We're better than Man United.
Okay. But, like, those were games that, okay, in a day it could be 50-50. It could be 50-50.
Exactly.
But you
and you boys. Win those games. And you win. The thing about Arsenal all season, all we did was win the games everyone expected us to win. That's what put us in that position. And then we went away from it for how many games? The Brighton game, absolutely outclassed. And I don't want to get started on, like I said, because I won't finish. The Southampton game, they had just lost 6-0 to Chelsea the previous week. 6-0. Every year, Arsenal decides to recreate that picture of a team losing games, and the only win amongst like 10-game losing streak is Arsenal. It's happened with Everton this season. It's happened with Southampton this season. Newcastle hadn't won against any of the top six sides. Arsenal went away to them and got absolutely bullied.
Newcastle?
Yes.
Before that game. Oh, against Arsenal.
They haven't
won
against any of the top six sides this season.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I thought they won against Man United.
They literally held five against Newcastle, against in Spurs.
City.
They held five against Spurs and City.
That's crazy.
Yes, they held five against Spurs.
So, my question is, what caused this thing then?
I don't even want to hear anything about Teta, you know. Like, it's not his fault. Like, those players just didn't show up. It's... With a bunch of cowards on our team, and all they do is talk, and then when is the biggest stage, they don't show up, and it's repeated.
Can you mention
Granit Xhaka, before the North London Derby, he said, they asked him, Granit, what's happening on Thursday? He said, we don't speak, we do. You didn't do anything on Thursday. Against Newcastle, all our midfielders should hang their head in shame. Elneny, Xhaka, and Odegaard. You're seeing that your defenders are being put under the press, and you're hiding behind midfielders. You're not meant to show for the ball. Isn't that the whole point of us playing out from the back, to beat the press, so that we can generate better chances? Why are you hiding behind midfielders when your team is on the press?
What if that was the...
Hiding.
Not hiding. Like, Odegaard should have been dropping, from what I understood. He should have been dropping, but what if that was Arteta's instruction?
That's not Arteta's instruction. There's no way in hell. Some things are common sense. If you see that your team is struggling to play out of the back, you should come and support. Like, it's not even just Odegaard. Xhaka and Elneny, they're doing the McTominay. Instead of opening to space to get let the ball, they're hiding behind midfielders.
Pause. I agree with you now. We just had a definition here Can you define the McTominay for us, please?
The McTominay is when your defenders are struggling to play out of the back, and instead of you to open to space to create a valid passing option for them, you are hiding behind midfielders, and at the end of the day, you have an excuse to say, oh, there was no lane. You have to create the lane. That's your job as a midfielder.
I'm happy.
Busquets always rotates to collect the ball from his center backs. This is something is basic in this day and age if you want to play out of the back. And Jacquard Elneny did not do that. Smith Rowe did not play in that game. He did not play at all. Nketiah tried. Like I said, I don't know why he's still at this club. Saka.
Same man that said he wants to play in Champions.
He didn't. Saka didn't. I don't think he was that bad because in the first half, when we got him on the ball, he was dangerous. He created chances.
Newcastle?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He created chances. And same with, well, not necessarily Odegaard, but like. When Saka got the ball in space, he did what you expected Saka to do. Smith Rowe just didn't get the ball at all. And as for Tavares, bro, go and study insurance, bro. Football is not for you. It's not for you.
Why insurance,
it's
bro?
Not. It's just so frustrating that they had so many chances to pull away from the pack. And they kept making it even, kept making it. Those three losses in a row, they've come back to kill us now. Come and then the decision not to invest in the squad in January. How ridiculous it is that, or how ironic is it that Bruno Guimaraes is the one that ended our top four chase? Well, not ended, but like pretty much put it out of our hands.
Yep.
How ironic is it? At the end of the day, some of these players are not good enough, and we're really about to reward some of them with
new contracts
because of two good performances. No, and I've been saying this for years. The problem with Arsenal, Elneny, yes. The problem with Arsenal is we have such a good starting 11. But the drop-off in terms of quality between our starting 11 and our bench players is the reason why we're not in third position right now. If we had Tierney and Partey fit through the remaining games of this season and Tomiyasu, we would be comfortably in third by now. Comfortably. Chelsea would be battling for fourth with Spurs by now. And I'll die on this hill because it's the truth. That run that Arsenal went from December to March, we're looking unbeatable. We're literally looking unbeatable. We look like the third best team in the league. My friend's a Liverpool fan. He was telling me Arsenal look like the third best team in the league. I was like, oh, Chelsea. He's like, no. Arsenal look like the third best team
Chelsea
in the league.
Chelsea only look like the unbeatable team in the league in August. Actually, until they faced United.
March, the only two teams, or the only teams we had lost to in that point in time, obviously, aside Brentford, were the teams that, ever since the first three games of the season, only the teams that were above us were the teams that we lost to.
My United were below you.
Huh?
My United were below
you. I'm saying at home. At home,
okay. My thing is, with Arsenal, this is a developing squad, and I'll say it candidly, like, you know, I'm not going to put it in a way that is very disrespectful, because I believe Arsenal are on the right track. Disappointment is not failure for me from what I'm seeing from Arsenal. But what I can see is that, yeah, your aim at the beginning of the season was to get to
Europe.
And you've achieved that goal. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. But you saw that the other people behind, not to say that you guys were not good, but you saw that the other guys behind, are falling off. And now the other guys had fallen off. You tried to take advantage of it. But in the end of the game, I think one thing I respect Arteta a lot, because he's a great coach. He knows his ideas. He knows everything. But one thing I notice about him, he will be forced into making decisions after trying too many stupid things. Like now, the Nketiah thing, from time, Lacazette was not trying. Nketiah went on the Beautiful Game podcast, said, show...
Nketiah played well against. In every single game he's played in Premier League.
I'm just saying that this is little problems with.
And by the way, Nicolas Pepe, I don't even know what to say. I can't say it on camera.
£72 million.
I can't say it. I just hope, honestly, if I'm Teta, if I got on that bus on Monday, as I'm just saying, I hope Pepe is not on this bus, because I expect you to walk back to London for that shambolic performance you put.
From Newcastle?
Yes, that's not my business. Find your way back. He doesn't deserve to be on the team bus.
Okay. Back to what I was saying. Arteta's use of his squad is always questionable sometimes. Like, let's be honest, Elneny came in and he helped you guys win some games in a row.
I said this. I told you.
Yeah, but he was not. But what you're saying that he's not like someone you want for your squad permanently.
It is the difference between us and teams we want to be like is the quality in depth.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
That is the only thing. Like. Obviously, our players are still young. They're gonna. I've seen us go toe to toe with City this season. I've seen us go toe to toe with Liverpool this season.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the game for a good minute, and then against at the end of Liverpool, the day, inexperience showed.
50
for
minutes.
Us.
It was like 50, 55 minutes.
We before. Could have been in the lead against Liverpool if Odegaard took that open post chance, and then all of a sudden, there's a ball from Thiago down the line, and then Ramsey lets the ball in at his near post.
Okay.
The game against City, we should be 2-1 up. Yeah. Martinelli has an open post. He should score. We should have left that City game with 3 points.
Okay. My question is that apparently I just read this morning, you guys don't really have the youngest squad in Premier League history as well, too.
No, it's youngest squad in Premier League right now.
But apparently United squad in 1920 was younger than this.
Mm-hmm.
The average age. But in the Premier League...
Younger, I don't know about younger, but as younger. Young.
It's younger. That's what the was reading this morning. But one thing I'm realizing is that would it be better if Arsenal had an experienced head in there? Some experience. Because
as players?
Yeah.
Of course.
Experience.
But the reason we have no experienced players is because all our experienced players let us down.
Okay. Let me explain this to you. This is also something I was listening to on a podcast. They were like, if you look at Arsenal, and this was after the Arsenal United game, where Arsenal won and everything, but someone said Arsenal were not fully in control of that game, like mm-hmm. towards the second half and everything. And they felt like they didn't deserve to be in that lead. Like, they were there. Oh, we are, let's say, like, okay, you're here.
But you're not going to be 10 out of 10 every game if you're
City or Liverpool. It's not 10 out. It's not. I'm just saying that Arsenal saw they were in this position. They realized, oh, we're here. We need to keep doing it. The thing is that having an experienced head in there would have, to me, would have actually, like, an experienced head who has done it before.
No doubt.
Not Xhaka, not Elneny, not the players who have no experience
no
in
doubt.
Those things. Like, you guys have a young budding squad, and I still think, I read the squad, I read the players there, I know that maybe let's see what is going to happen in a few years. But my question is, would, and I know you say Aubameyang should have left and everything, but I still think,
No.
Can I explain myself?
Hindsight is the biggest demon
no,
in the
it's
world.
Not hindsight. I said if Aubameyang was literally stripped from captaincy and used in the squad.
Used how?
Maybe play as a striker once or twice.
How? Aubameyang is not playing once or twice in a season.
Okay, but my question is, would he have been
so every single person talking about Aubameyang, please let it go. Please, okay. Just let it go. I watched that man miss multiple open posts for us this season. Talking about, oh, if we had leaders in the squad. He was a leader in the squad when we blew the Europa League and lost every single game towards the end of that 18-19 season.
But he was the leader who won the FA Cup for you too in the season where you needed it most.
To make it back to the Europa League.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But where was he when we needed to get to the Champions League?
So... are you saying that just because of these situations now?
I'm saying Aubameyang has not done anything in his Arsenal career for us to put beyond that. Oh, he'll be the one to put his head down. Literally, we finished 8 back-to-back seasons with all these acclaimed leaders. With the David Luises that are leaders. With the Pablo Maris or the Kolasinacs or people that have apparently seen everything. Doesn't make any difference. At the end of the day, quality will prevail in the Premier League.
So what kind of quality experienced player are you looking for?
Gundogan.
Okay, if you say so, Gabi Jesus as well. Too. So you're ending up almost spending almost, you're giving him City 80 million money.
I think he's
2023.
I think he wants to leave.
Yeah, 2023.
Like he's 31, obviously the price won't be that expensive.
25 million, Gabi Jesus.
Well, if you want to become a good team, you have to spend money. We're not spending like, you know, we're not spending 80 million on one player. We're spending 80 million on Gabriel Jesus and Ilkay Gundogan.
Yeah, okay, if you say so. I see that's a good signing. But I don't know. I think this team was just too young and not ready.
That's an excuse.
Huh?
That's an excuse.
You're talking like Xhaka now.
That's an excuse. And him too, he's an excuse. All of them just... The too young is... And then Teta came out today and said something about the goal was... No. if he came out today and he said the goal was to make Champions League, we had it in our hands and we blew it. Obviously, it's not over. Anything can happen. But we are real disappointed. But things change.
Things change.
At the beginning of the 13-14 season, was it Liverpool's goal to win the league?
Who was that? Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah. When they didn't win the league, should they not have been disappointed?
Yeah, they should have been disappointed.
Exactly. Things change.
But guess what? Objectives. You play FM too. Does your when you do objectives, what does the FM say?
And I'm not one of those, like, I don't know how I feel about Arteta, okay? Like, I don't know. I'm very confused.
You know what's so funny? I was about to say the same thing to you because I was like, I see you, but at the same time, like, I'm not fully convinced. I don't know how I feel.
I don't know. That run I saw from Arsenal from December to March was, scratch that. The run I saw from after the first three games of the season till March showed me everything I wanted to see in an Arsenal squad this season. I mean, for crying out loud, we're 3 points ahead of fifth position with three games in hand, with 12 games to go. That's literally in your hands. And then to just end, I mean, there's talk about Spurs having
pizza issues,
poisoning,
Harry Kane dropping.
If anything, I mean, I wouldn't mind a miracle, but it's all but done for Arsenal.
You know what's funny? I think you should go to Spurs. First of all, that game against Arsenal was like, let me be honest with people, literally, I stopped watching the games as soon as the season was over in January for me. But I still follow and read and do all of that. But what was the prognosis?
The game against
Spurs for Arsenal.
See, I don't like sounding biased, right? But I don't believe Spurs win that game without some of the decisions.
Fair enough, I agree. I agree from that.
They had possession, but they weren't doing anything with it. I want you to remember, like in the first, I don't know, 1 minute Kane scored the penalty. But between that and that, Arsenal had the best chance in the game. Arsenal were the ones getting even though they had all the ball, they weren't doing anything with it. It was just lofted over played balls over the top. Now, the problem I had was clearly the decision to be tight on Son was Teta's decision. Mm-hmm. Clearly. But the problem I have is Holding is a very stupid person because he made the same foul three times in a row and it earned him a yellow card. An experienced player would calm down.
He's not even experienced himself.
I mean, I don't even know what to call him, but like a reasonable player would calm down and realize Ben White just got back from injury. I picked up a yellow card in the first half and put in my team where 1-0 down. The last thing we need right now is a red card. Ball goes over the top. It's way overplayed. It's literally in Ramsdale's hand and you check Son. That's what cost us the game.
Yeah.
1,000%. That's what. And then the penalty, as far as I'm concerned, is the softest penalty decision I've seen in my life. It's extreme. I'm sorry, you don't give those types of penalties in a derby of that magnitude. You just don't do that. You don't. And there's not enough for VAR. I get the decision, but it's soft, man. It's just soft. If I'm a coach, I'm okay with what Cedric did.
There are many penalties that have been soft this season, let's be honest.
And that's why the Premier League refs are not going to the World Cup.
None of them. I haven't.
Not even for VAR duty.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, it's been like that for years now.
That's what I'm saying.
See, the last Premier League ref I remember at this thing was Howard Webb.
That's what I'm saying. Rob Holding and some of the... They cost us that game.
That's true. I haven't seen the Premier League ref in a long time. 1,000%. I haven't seen the Premier League ref in the World Cup for a long time. The last person I saw was 2010 Howard Webb in the final.
From Holding and the ref cost us the game. I'm sorry, Holding. You just can't do that. You can't do that in a game of that magnitude. You just can't do that.
But let's speak on Spurs. Why? Spurs for me have looked decent. Let's be honest. Like, although you know it's Norwich on the final day, and I think like this is where we see Spurs come out.
I hope so.
In my head.
I mean, they've done it before, losing 5-1 to Newcastle on already relegated Newcastle in 2016 on the final day.
I don't think Newcastle were relegated.
They were relegated.
5-1?
Yeah. That was the year Leicester won the league. That's why Arsenal finished second.
I can't quite remember, but that is weird. Like, that is weird. But the difference for me is Conte. Let me not lie to people. I am not his biggest fan. Till to this day, I just can't be his biggest fan because, yeah, he knows how to win the leagues, man. But fam, if you look at his cup, this thing, Champions League, all of that, that's why I say, like, Spurs qualify for Champions League, to me, doesn't really change anything.
No, I mean...
It doesn't really... Because Conte in the Champions League, his record is...
Aston Villa going to, you know, have a magical run in the Champions League.
What about that video? The road to Arsenal Champions League on Twitter.
Bro, don't answer all these comp makers, man. It's just... Conte just knows how to get the best out of the players that he has.
That's a good thing.
And Ben Davies was... I was as good as Ben Davies at the beginning of the season. And now he's played Eric solid. Dier, too. Eric Diabolical, I used to call him. Now he looks like he's good. Like... Christian Romero as well, and he didn't play that game. Davinson Sanchez, all these guys are mid footballers. Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, mid.
He's making Emerson Royal look a bit good.
Mid. Højbjerg is mid.
Keeps dropping Skip, his comps.
Mid. Harry Winks, the definition of mid.
I actually rate Skip, though, a bit.
They're all mid. But that's what a great coach does.
But the players that are not mid, Bentancur,
Kulusevski, Bola.
Kulusevski.
Son. Underrated.
Let me not lie to
you. I would have put 50 million on Son instead of Sancho.
Okay, no problem. No problem. But he just signed a contract and nobody wants to negotiate with Daniel Levy in this life. Lifetime.
Just saying.
In this lifetime, bro. In this lifetime.
Son is a game changer. Left foot, right foot, as long as he scores.
You know, we used to call him a purple patch merchant too.
Who?
Son.
Who used to call him a purple patch?
I used to call him a purple.
I've always read Son is the
I rate Son.
As much as I hate Spurs, Son is the only. Obviously,
that's the Hurricane.
Son, I rate them two are the only two I've written.
No, I rate Son. Son is a wonderful two-footed player. But in the past, he's literally been like, he goes on a run of like 10 games, then stops scoring for like 6, 7, 8, then starts again and all of that. But this season, he's been consistent and he's one behind. Salah.
That has more to do with Salah's dropping form, though. Nothing against Son, but Salah should have bagged golden boots since March.
He should have, I think even, he went to AFCON, but he only missed 3 games.
Should have bagged golden boots since
March. I
have a lot to say about Salah, and I'll get into it later.
Yeah, but for Son. Like, it's Norwich on the final day. And one thing I noticed about Spurs is that Burnley game, we both said...
The handball bailed them out. 1,000%.
Okay.
No doubt in my mind that they would not have won that game if it wasn't for that handball.
But from what I was seeing, I don't think they bottled it, basically. They had a higher XG. Nick Pope also said... I think it was Nick Pope in the goal.
There's just something about games like Burnley and Norwich that you just feel like Spurs are going to...
That's because the cost of Spurs is bigger than Conte.
Because the thing is, Conte, brilliant result against Liverpool, brilliant result against Arsenal. The fact is, we play into what Conte wants. Conte would give you results against these guys.
Yeah.
But then he would slip up against those guys.
Conte or Spurs?
Conte and Spurs.
Conte's record has never.
Is the style of football that is obviously Spurs has something to do with it.
Do you know what Spurs? The thing is that people think Conte is just sit back and allow you, but Conte does play.
Has something to do with it, not Conte.
That was
Spurs. A lot of times, these Spurs players, they don't show up on the big occasions.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's not about Conte.
Sorry, they show up on the big occasions, but they don't show up on the lesser occasions. You look at some of the games they've won or failed to win. The game against Brighton. Lost. The FA Cup against Middlesbrough. The game against Brighton. The game against Brentford. The game against Burnley. The game against Southampton. They'll win Man City away.
That Southampton game 1-0?
They lost 3-2. It was Leicester they won.
No, there was a game that I expected them to... They were drawing until 96.
It was Leicester. They were losing.
No, that's 3-2. There was one that was 1-0. I can't quite remember.
They were drawing. They were winning Southampton, and then Southampton scored 2 goals in the 80-something minutes to win it.
So, that's the thing with...
It's the lesser stages that they don't show up on.
But, in the last 2 months... Let's say, in the last...
The last 2 months, they drew with Brentford and lost to Brighton. With no shots on target.
Fam, all of us lost to Brighton in that moment.
Some of us were raped by Brighton.
Some of us were literally destroyed by Brighton from beginning to end because Mr. Scott McTominay plays football. But
Ralph
Rangnick might not know how to do. Ralph Rangnick is
with Spurs is in their hands. They're just
going in their hands. It's one and game. I feel like. Like
to close it.
A part of me believes that okay, let's see if Conte is really bigger than this.
I think he has anything to do with Conte. It's just Spurs. If they lose, it's not Conte. It's not just Spurs.
What I'm saying that if, like you always say, is the curse of Spurs bigger than Antonio Conte? Will it be bigger this time, or will it be that?
I'm doing everything just to pray that Norwich win because Nene is coming on the next episode and I can't.
Oh, we're bear having a him. Full episode here, man.
I can't bear him, man. I just can't. Just can't.
Wait, he has already booked it?
No, but I'm going to call him anyway. Yeah, well,
all right. What next?
Liverpool.
FA Cup? Should we start from your FA Cup?
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool, the hopes of the quadruple are still alive. They obviously have to win Madrid in the Champions League. Steven Gerrard has to do a job against City. Or City have to lose 6-0, Liverpool draw 5-5, and then they can get to a playoff game.
What the hell is that?
But the hopes are still alive. They should have won the FA Cup in the first 20 minutes.
But Chelsea should have scored too.
Yeah, they got back into it, but like a goal makes a lot of a difference in a football game. And
is that the Luis Diaz chance?
Then they had a lot of chance. Salah had a chance. Luis Diaz had a chance.
No, I watched the highlights because I was at work. But what I was seeing was that game. I don't know how it ended 0-0. Yeah, and it's the same thing.
But it wasn't like Carabao. The Carabao one had way more quality. They were tired. At a point, became a ball fest. Mm-hmm. And Thiago's decisions might have lost Chelsea that game.
I don't think so.
I don't know why Azpilicueta came on. I don't know why he brought
the thing
on.
The thing is, we can never say anything because, first of all, we're not in the dressing room. Second thing is that when it comes to penalties, it's up to who steps up in that moment.
Azpilicueta scored his penalty.
Azpilicueta missed his penalty.
Sorry, he missed. Yeah, he missed his penalty.
Missed his penalty.
But it's like I'm not asking why he brought him on for penalties in the game. Azpilicueta hasn't been good enough for the past 2-3 months for Chelsea now.
Yeah, he's declining.
Exactly. So I don't know why you would bring him on in that situation.
I don't see why not.
Honestly. I see why not.
Who did he take off then?
I can't remember. But then Barkley, he brought on Loftus-Cheek, brought him off, and then brought Barkley on. I didn't get the decision as well. On why he brought Kante on. Kante has been having a horror show this season. The decision to bring him on was a joke to me. Ahead of Loftus-Cheek, even though I don't really love Loftus-Cheek. And when he was walking up, I knew that ESR wannabe was going to miss the penalty. He just doesn't have it in him.
Mason Mount, they are not saying... Actually, he has... Six cup finals.
In Wembley. And then with... what's his name? Salah. Salah hasn't shown up on the biggest stages for Liverpool.
At all.
Aside the goal in the penalty in the Champions League final, by the way, in a game where he did not play well. He didn't play well.
That was a ball fest.
Mane didn't play well. Firmino was terrible. Wijnaldum was horrible. But like, he didn't play well in that game.
That was a ball fest.
Obviously, the first Champions League final wasn't his fault with the Ramos injury. The FA Cup final, he wasn't having a good game when he got taken off with the injury, but he's okay. What's his name? The Carabao Cup final didn't show up, didn't impact the game as much. Some of the big games they've had in the league of recent. I think they said his last open play goal
was against
United.
The worst United team in history.
Yeah, and this was a run where you needed to
show up. But Sadio Mane, and you know what's funny? Everyone will say, I think Salah has that, he has credit in the bank. He has enough credit in the bank.
I think he has scored in any final aside that from open play. Yeah, he has zero open play goals in all his finals for Liverpool.
He has a lot of credit in the bank that people don't see these things. But Sadio Mane, for me, although he missed his spare during this thing, but like, Sadio Mane for me is a man for the big occasion. There was something someone said once. It's like, there's a moment in the match where you know that Sadio Mane will be like, you know what? I'm carrying this. This is my game. You see it in his face. And once he does that, like Sadio Mane will see a wall and realize, I can just keep climbing. But Sadio Mane will be like, no, what? I'm going to tumble and climb up to the next thing. Shout out Kalanka for saying that. But like literally, that's what like for me. I read Salah.
He's got that dog in him.
He's got that dog in him. That's all I can say. Because when Sadio Mane starts, you're just like, yeah. But Luis Diaz got the dog.
He just needs to refine his finishing a little bit.
That's it.
He's already unplayable. Like, there's nothing you can do about him. He's one of them ones. You're just like, yeah. I mean, like, you know, basketball. If you like, there was a time Damian Lillard make a step back fadeaway three, and Joe Harris is like, God damn! And coach is like, don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do about that. Or when someone misses a shot, and you're thanking God. Like, there's nothing you can do. He's gonna beat you 1v1.
Like Luis Diaz, just to think in my head that this guy would have ended up in Spurs. God forbid.
He's a problem.
He's a
that front three would have been.
Oh my God! Wait, Son.
Son Diaz and Kane. So that's two runners in behind and Kane.
And two 1v1 players, bro. That is mad.
I was elite scouting from Spurs, big them up. But like, obviously, he chose Liverpool. Like, he's just a problem. His stats explosion next season is going to be crazy.
If he works on that finishing.
Yeah.
But you know one thing? I think finishing always comes naturally.
He could potentially score 18 Premier League goals next season.
18 Premier League.
18 to 20.
I think we can give him, I would say he can do 25 goal and assist.
All season.
25 goal and assist.
All comps.
Let's say all comps for now. Let's say all comps.
I think he can get 18 goals in Premier League.
If Liverpool maintain this and all of that. But for Liverpool just seems like they're walking into things.
Welly, a Liverpool fan, I just saw him tweeted. He's like, if Salah doesn't want to sign a new contract, shop him. You got to respect
it. That is one thing about Liverpool, man. Liverpool don't beg you.
You have to respect it. If he's asking for 400 million and he's not showing up on 400K and he's not showing up on the biggest occasion, shop him. Shop him.
Well, I just saw something that I think we can discuss later. But one thing I was realizing is one thing is that Salah hasn't shown up, and Liverpool said, like, you know when a player brings his this thing, I mean, like Kevin KDB, De Bruyne.
Yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne brought his stats. He basically negotiated his contract, and it was like, no, it was him.
He was his agent.
He was his agent. He brought out the stats. He brought out everything. He had a community driven and said, this is what I've been doing. Give me the money. I deserve it.
You can't argue with that.
You can't argue for a player who does that. But look at Salah now in this moment. Liverpool have a right to say, we're not paying you. And Salah can be, you can pay me. But literally,
if he doesn't get that new contract,
winning the league, was he the? Who
I think won the yeah, I think boot? No. Vardy won the Golden Boot that season. No, sorry.
Kane. That was locked down.
Yeah, was it Kane? No, it wasn't Kane. Kane won last season.
Oh, Kane won last season. Who won the Golden Boot then?
It was Vardy. Bamian came second.
Huh?
It was Vardy that won the Golden Boot that season.
Oh, yeah, second. But I know the season before in 2019-20
was Salah, Aubameyang, and Mane. Yeah.
So Salah only has that one season.
He has two Golden Boots. Come on. He broke the league for most goals in the league.
No. I'm saying in this way that, you know what, like.
Yeah, but even in that 1920, remember, he went on the crazy goal drought. Sorry, not 1920, 18-19.
Mm-hmm.
He went on a crazy goal drought. And I think he broke it that game against Southampton. Mm-hmm. Where they won 3-1, the run that he took off.
Yeah, also last season, also like in lockdown season.
No, but he stepped up towards the end of the season.
He stopped. He helped them.
He carried them to the top because
there was a time that it was really. So like, yeah, he does have credit in the bank, but Liverpool have a right to say, fam, if you want to leave,
there's one team that can let Salah go and replace him.
Simple. They've already have this Fabio Carvalho boy.
Yeah, from Fulham. Liverpool have to like. If I'm a Liverpool fan, the one thing I'm worried about is a repeat of what happened in after they won the Champions League in 2019. They won the Champions League and signed only Harvey Elliott and
But they've signed two players. Oh, but who are they going to sign this season anymore?
I mean, you never know who Liverpool are going to sign until they sign the person.
And you'll be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly. So you just have to go and, like, increase your depth. Because
they've signed Javi. This is actually the first season where we say Liverpool have depth. Where their players, like, even in their game against Southampton, which were, I think we're already diverting to Liverpool more. Like, Minamino scored and Mane again.
Minamino can't leave.
But, like, literally, he's the highest cup competition goal scorer.
I think he has 10 goals in all competitions this season.
Which is a good difference. Which is good numbers for a backup player.
Yeah.
So, these are the things that I'm saying. That Liverpool, for this coming season, who is leaving their squad this season?
Probably nobody. Yeah, Origi. Mr. Clutch Genius.
Origi is gone.
I think he's going to score in the Champions League final.
We're already I can't say that word. We're already saying something that is, like, literally, you think he's going to score?
I think he's going
to. But, you know, that would be the perfect farewell.
I think he's one of them ones that's written in the stars.
Yeah, yeah.
Then let's move on to Chelsea.
Okay, okay.
Very underwhelming. I'm telling you, if not for Arsenal's meltdown, Chelsea, we'll be talking about Chelsea more than we are right now.
The problem is everyone is talking about Chelsea's takeover and the Ukraine and Russia thing and Abramovich. That's where the discussion is really centered around. So everyone will be like, yeah, there are so many uncertainties. But generally speaking,
they've won a bunch of glorified friendlies as trophies.
People are not going to allow that, fam.
What, Super Cup?
And FIFA Club World Cup.
Just a glorified friendlies.
If you won it,
who's the opposition?
Huh?
Who's the opposition they played?
A
Club World Cup.
I think it was Palmeiras or something like that. I've forgotten.
In all honesty.
They are the best club in the world.
In all honesty, if you go through the season and you win Super Cup and Club World Cup.
Those things are even based on your form last season.
That's what I'm saying. That's not good enough.
Yeah. That's really not good enough. And the thing I have with Chelsea is that there are certain players in that squad that we just think that are just not it.
A massive clear out is needed. There's no need to.
It's not even a massive clear out. It's done. Like, the clear out is already been done for them. Their entire defense has been cleared out.
Rudiger said goodbye to them. I think Christensen is going to Barcelona. Aspi is leaving.
Marcos Alonso
is leaving as well.
That's already a back four done. Thiago Silva is 39.
Gotta get rid of Pulisic.
You know what's funny? I won't say
for
I have
someone who's meant to be the LeBron James of Premier League.
Have you watched Captain America? Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, it was boring.
Okay, but you remember the Captain America there? Is him.
Yeah.
That is him at this point.
Yeah, I don't think he's good enough.
I don't think it's a case of not good enough. The man gets into good positions, but Pulisic is not clutch. His finishing is poor.
Something he's not good enough. Werner, get rid of him. Lukaku, get rid of him.
How are they going to get rid of a 97 million
pound? That's what I'm saying. But these are the players they need to sell. Kante, just like, he can flip the switch. But he hasn't done that all season.
He has only had 15 starts, Premier League starts.
He hasn't been good. They should keep Kovacic, keep Havertz, keep
Rich James.
Loftus-Cheek, Rich James, Chilwelly, Mendy, Mount. ESR wannabe, Selziak.
But this is crazy, yeah? The amount of things that are not working out in Chelsea, people aren't really speaking. Because you've already said sell all these players. That is a full starting 11 here.
That 2020 summer is looking like a fleece. I remember when they got Timo Werner, Ziyech, and now it's looking like they got fleeced. They did win the Champions League, so you can never take that away from them.
I'm not even gonna say it, but in my mind, I'm just like, was that a good manager bounce?
I mean, I saw someone say Tuchel and Di Matteo are the exact same person.
Please.
I don't buy that. I don't buy that.
That is rubbish.
I don't buy that. But, like, they won Champions League. You can't take that away from this group of players.
Mm-hmm.
But moving forward, a lot of them are not going to be there.
But it's like, first of all, the club being bought and bought is in doubt.
In doubt?
Apparently something about, like, they are not sure where Abramovich wants to put the money. when Todd Bowley plays, because, you know, he can't touch the money and everything, and the accounts are frozen. So basically, what kind of frozen account are they going to put it? How are we going to expect? And you know what's funny? Abramovich, my man said, who in their lifetime would let go of 1.5 billion?
Somebody with 10 billion.
No. He's not getting letting go of that money, man. A grown man is like, to reach that level, to let go of 1.5 billion, bro. Sometimes love doesn't cover all like that, bro.
I don't know, man. I don't know. But Chelsea is in a sticky city. They're going to play Champions League football next season.
Uh-huh.
They will potentially finish top four next season again.
Who's going to spend money?
I don't know. They're in a weird place.
We don't know what to expect. If it was Abramovich still here, first of all, I think Tuchel would have been under much more pressure. Shout out to Emma Hayes again for winning the Women's Super League.
All my homies hate Emma Hayes.
They hate him.
Yeah,
bro.
Because I'm an Arsenal fan.
Oh, she's
and shout out Vivian
for signing
for the new contract. Thank you for staying.
Bro, first of all, yeah, can I even say this? Arsenal social media team, yeah, they're on one. I love those guys, bro. Like the announcements. Look at how they announced Viv today.
What did they say?
Did you see how they announced? Like her
I
signing.
Saw the video of her saying something about she's staying, but in Dutch. But I don't remember.
Bro, like the whole announcement video was mad. Then the jersey like this thing.
Reveal.
They were just reveal yesterday.
Arsenal, man.
Like,
do guys, something. I need to rep these kids with pride.
Like, you guys have, you can rep them, bro. You guys are getting better, bro. Just rep them. Like today, I'm repping this idiot, although they're annoying me. Like, I like Arsenal social media team.
You're
like,
repping Mourinho's United.
Huh? That's the worst season. Actually, this is even the worst season where I give up on football.
Yeah, but
Chelsea. We have to have a discussion on how you guys want to rebuild your squad, because we're talking about over six players. First of all, you have to buy minimum of three new defenders.
Hashtag uncomfortable conversation.
Jesus Christ. Then you have to buy midfielders. What Gaga is going to come back. Who's the other person? Mal Broha too.
Amando
Broha.
I think he might be sold. I look, you think he might be sold.
Bro, they're using him to get funds, bro. All the Chelsea, this thing. Academy is just to get money and all of that.
I lowkey think he might be so.
Southampton is going to drop 30 million for them, bro.
Oh, yeah. Big up Arsenal legend, Daichi Kamada, for winning the Europa League.
Daichi Kamada. Oh, yeah.
Daichi Kamada.
Shout out.
Rangers had a good run.
Oh, they did.
Rambo, bro. Rambo. That's a terrible penalty.
But again, this is the question. Why do managers keep doing this thing?
Yeah.
Like, the. It on 4K cameras, you saw it with three players. Was it three?
Saka played.
You saw it with two players back to back. You can't, like, it's hard to say it works, but guess what? The player that scored, that played after Rambo scored. He came out as well, too. Like, the player that scored.
It was him that scored. Oh, the player that scored for Rangers after Rambo.
Rambo, yeah.
Yeah, what's his name again?
I think it's like a 37-year-old guy or something.
I forgot his name.
Yeah. But like literally, he scored the pen and I was just
Roof.
Like... Roof? I don't think it's Roof. Can't quite remember.
It starts with R though.
Yeah, yeah. But like literally, shout out Rangers. Rangers have a good season.
Yeah.
Based on what we're thinking, I think... Did we ever rate TBG then?
Let's see what he does next season.
Like,
with
Villa. Gio Van Bronckhorst did a work, get a good work, man.
Let's see what he does next season with Villa.
Shout out my boys, Joe Aribo and Calvin Bassey. You guys,
yeah,
played well,
the Aribo Niger played boys, well. Man City, they drew. You see, here's the thing. This is why I call myself the voice of reason, because sometimes I say some things that people are like, "Oh, what are you talking about? You like doing? I'm different." But then when it happens, I don't get credit for it. Okay. The reason I consistently picked Liverpool to win the league was because and you can go and listen to all the previous episodes of the Highline podcast. I said City were going to drop points against West Ham. Whether they lost or whether they were going
to
draw.
Liverpool
to I drop just didn't expect Liverpool to draw against Spurs.
I mean, dropping points against West Ham is okay. But guess what? Riyad Mahrez, you've had a fantastic season. But that's the thing. Liverpool, City don't have someone who can play penalties consistently.
He ain't got that clutch, Gene.
Riyad Mahrez, last season he had the clutch too.
He ain't
bro.
Got that. Last season, on the UCL run, yes.
He last season in
but
the UCL
this
run.
Season,
this season,
I mean, how many chances did he have?
He's even partly responsible against for that Real Madrid game too.
He's even.
I think Pep even doesn't like that guy.
He's even partly responsible for there being a title race.
Right now.
Yes. He could have locked off Liverpool in that game.
Oh, in the 2-2?
Yes.
So, here's one thing. Who in that City team can play a pen then?
I'll put it on game. I saw KDB score three goals with his left.
Four goals.
Three goals with his left, one with his right. So, give him the ball in the end time. Give Raz. Give Grealish. Grealish was taking pens for Villa.
Was it Grealish?
Yeah.
In that moment, I don't even know who can have stepped up because it's hard. We're just like, we're speaking. Even KDB, like, there was a run where there were a lot of missed penalties for City.
Hell, put Ederson there. Anyone can
like, literally, I think in that moment, because Riyad Mahrez...
Gundogan is a good penalty taker.
Apparently, Riyad Mahrez is actually their best penalty taker.
Mm.
He is. From the record, he has the best penalty.
I'd rather have Gundogan taking penalties.
It's hindsight that does it, bro.
I've seen him score a penalty in a Champions League final.
I've seen him miss a penalty in the games too.
Okay.
Like in the games in the Premier League. Like I said, there was a run where City were missing penalties. They gave it to Raz, they gave it to this person, they gave it to this person. Like it's a crazy thing. That's why I looked at it, I was like, who else can City give this pen? Maybe I would say Grealish.
But not
Grealish
the first time Mahrez has missed a clutch pen. Just saying.
I mean, he has missed a lot. I think even two seasons ago?
18-19, Barca did over the bar against Liverpool.
That 0-0 draw too as well too. Well, I mean, they play against Aston Villa. And to be honest, we're going to go into Everton soon.
Stevie G, madness incoming. Watch this space.
A man that cannot beat one.
Watch the... No, I'm saying Stevie G is about to do a madness on the final day of the season. We coming.
Let me relax on that because...
Stevie G has I always say there's something different when you're playing against a team that's fighting relegation.
They're not fighting relegation.
Burnley.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Aston Villa.
No, you're saying like Stevie G could not beat Burnley. I'm saying there's something... I watched Arsenal. I think three seasons in a row, we got Sunderland towards the end of the season. And some crazy nil-nil draws were played.
Well, I remember that season. But one thing I'm saying is that they have nothing to play for. Home advantage.
I'll see what he
does. I hope we're not going to see another 93-20 here, bro.
I don't know. But I think it's Stevie G madness is coming on Sunday.
The same way you think Spurs are going to win Norwich. Sorry, Norwich are
going to... I hope Spurs are not going to...
I don't see how Stevie G is going to do a madness, though. I just genuinely don't.
Watch this space.
Because tactically...
I mean, it could potentially go down as one of the greatest final days of all time if both City and Spurs lose.
That's a long, hard run. Like, that's a big, big if.
Because as a mutual, don't you want to see that?
No, not you.
I'll take it like to the listeners. If you're a mutual and you don't support City and Spurs, are you telling me you hate Arsenal enough to see the Premier League having that? Come on, bro. Like,
you're not convincing people. You know people love hating, bro. Shout out Pabev. He taught us how to hate this week.
Bro, one day I hope to reach his level.
Bro, you go on, what do you call it, national TV to hate for 4 days in a row.
No, it was just really that one day, to be fair.
But he recorded.
And then some parts of the second day.
Jesus Christ, man. That's... Sorry to go into basketball. Basketball is a fun sport. Which reminds... Should we go into Richarlison?
I respect it. See,
you know what's funny?
I have a huge problem with football fans. Football fans irritate me. Mm-hmm. Like, I live... Like, it gives me joy when I see players talking about each other. I'm like, yes, you do that.
You know what's funny? That's how people in the past grew up. Like, look at Roy Keane and what do you call it?
Vieira.
I think we're going to go to Vieira.
I'm trash talking anybody. If I think I'm good enough. That's why I respected when Salah said, we have a score to settle. If he goes on and he scores two goals in the Champions League final, fam, that's legendary.
That would be... And you know what? When they made documentaries about that, like...
That is legendary. I respect Richarlison.
Going into Everton, 3-2 against...
I love Frank Lampard. I'm happy he's staying
up. You love Frank Lampard?
I said it last time we recorded. Lampard was my second favorite midfielder growing up after CDG. Even as an Arsenal fan, I'm happy he stayed up.
But the Premier League needs Everton.
Yeah, I'm happy he stayed.
The Premier League is more than Burnley right now.
But the celebrations yesterday were ridiculous, bro.
It's a lie. I hate when people say it's ridiculous. You've never been in that situation. Frank Lampard said this is his biggest achievement in his career, both player-wise and manager-wise.
He's capping, bro. He's not capping.
He's capping. It's because you've never been in a relegation battle before.
Capping.
Bro, no.
The man that won Champions League in a depleted Chelsea side against...
That's fine. But I can believe him because the celebrations were not overrated, bro. Do you know what it means for you to be in a situation where you've been in the Premier League for so long and all of a sudden you feel like the drop is near? And remind you, the game itself was something. The emotions ran there. Because they were 2-0 down. Yeah. Crystal Palace were playing that first half. That was the only part I watched. I was just like, I was seeing them, what do you call it? Mateta score. IU should have gotten sent off.
I'm telling you, let me tell you something. Richarlison is a baller. Oh, I said it on this podcast at least five times when I thought they were... I said Everton should get relegated just so Arsenal can get Richarlison.
Listen, I would have gotten... There was a time where people were doubting Richarlison. I was just like, you know what? Every time, even from when he was in Watford, I was just like, there's something about this boy.
Every single game, I saw him step up for Everton when they needed him the most.
That's a player. That's why I say that, you know what? This guy can be a big game player. And you know what? Let's see what he does in the World Cup too.
I think he played well in Copa America final, even though they lost.
He missed one or two chances there. But like literally, I see like when he came to the moment that Richarlison pulled up his boots, pulled up his socks, shoes, wore his boots and said, this is where I'm going to take. Yeah. Those are players.
I want you to think about every crucial goal Everton have scored or won.
That's the Chelsea game.
The United game, he played so well. He ran his socks off. He ran his socks off in that game. The game against Brentford, he had scored two goals, even though they ended up losing 3-2.
No, it wasn't one that scored. It was Calvert-Lewin scored one.
Calvert-Lewin scored yesterday.
Calvert-Lewin scored one too against Brentford.
He scored two goals.
No, Calvert-Lewin scored him against Brentford. Calvert-Lewin scored because I remember I haven't seen that Calvert-Lewin song in a long time.
And those of you Arsenal fans that are talking about Calvert-Lewin, please, let's not attract curses to ourselves.
Please. Yeah, Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison, second pair. Calvert-Lewin scored first, then Richarlison.
I respect Richarlison. He's got that dog in him.
It's not like he got the dog, but at the same time, it's like he backs it. And you know what I love? It was that tweet. When he said, wash your mouth and keep your name. Respect. I was like, yes, this is a guy.
Respect. I respect it.
I'm sorry, but I like that. Like, you've been talking about, like, you want that kind of talk in football more.
Yes.
And you know what? When he said, I was like, you know what? Fair enough. Because Carroll can't see anything anymore.
Football is so robotic, bro. It's so robotic.
Like, literally, I was just like, yeah, Richarlison is that guy. And you know what? Yeah, I would have taken him United any day, any time. Fact.
And now Leeds and Burnley face relegation on the final day, bro.
Your hometown club.
I love Leeds, man. I was there for how many years of my life? I watched the Euros in Leeds. We're going to have to fight our way back up next season.
You don't think City are coming back?
I don't think. The only person
I'm even sad for is Jesse Marsh.
I don't think they're staying up.
Who are they? No.
I do not think Leeds are staying up.
No. They have a chance. They just need...
It's the last game of the season.
They play Brentford.
I don't think Leeds are staying up.
They play Brentford.
Burnley play Newcastle.
Oh, that goal difference is mad.
I do not think Leeds are staying up.
Burnley play Newcastle at home.
I love Leeds. Like, I love Leeds with my life.
But anyways.
I don't think they're staying up.
Calvin Phillips. Rafinha.
I'll do straight swap with Leeds. Pepe for Rafinha. Let Pepe play at his level.
Who is going to pay that money for Pepe, bro?
What? Straight swap.
They're not going to pay if they literally...
Give them Pepe and 20 million.
Oh my God. This guy. They're not going to pay Pepe's, wages, bro.
I would pay 20 million for somebody to collect Pepe.
Jesus Christ, man. Rafinha might go Barca.
No, it's not. Guy.
Calvin Phillips. They would have to sell.
I don't want Calvin Phillips.
You don't read Calvin Phillips?
Because he's English. He has that English
cursor. No, I rate him.
No.
Right from when he was there, bro.
Nope. I haven't seen enough from him. Nope. He's a good young
so
player.
So you think Leeds are really going down?
I think they're going down.
I just think...
And I think Man U is ending the season with a negative goal difference.
I just think is
and they could potentially end up in Conference League.
I don't care. I couldn't care less. I literally could care less right now in this moment. Because what does it change? I would love us to get into Conference League and fall out of Conference League.
Nah, they'll win it.
Huh?
They'll win it. AWB might be leaving. He's not in the ETH's plan. Ten Hag's plan.
The thing with, I won't even say I'm optimistic at this point. Because we won't see anything until what this summer holds for, man. But like, literally...
And then Pogba, what are you doing, mate? What are you doing, bro? Why are you going back to Juventus?
You know what's funny? I think Pogba is an emotional man. Mm. Not that it's a bad thing, but man, that man loves nostalgia, man. Mm. He genuinely loves nostalgia.
Man, UV, man.
Like, man, he UV loves man. Nostalgia. There must be something wrong with you that you must go back to UV. Or others don't read you because, guess what? UV are offering less money. It was not money. UV are offering less money. Like, from the offers we're seeing. You know what's funny here? As a Pogba fan, I'd have loved him to go to Man City. And as a Man United fan, I would have loved him.
That's unfair.
Why?
Because that's... Come on, bro. Imagine running a midfield of Pogba, KDB, and Rodri.
Okay.
And then you have Haaland up top. Come on, bro. Like,
you know what's funny? I just... Like,
as it would have been City bad. Already playing FIFA in real life.
It would have been bad, but at the same time, I would have loved to see it.
As it is, City are playing FIFA in real life. We just can't.
I would have loved Pogba to go to City. I won't have him because what does it change? It's not like Liverpool and City are going to be like.
If I'm Pogba, I would take a pay cut. I would do everything in my power to go to City. Not because I love him, but to spite those United.
Bro, fans. I would do it, man. I would do it with every bit in me for Gary Neville, Carragher, Sonnes.
And when I sign, I will say happy to sign for the biggest club in Manchester.
But now I understand that this man didn't come back to United for the money. He didn't. Because the fact that he's going back to Juve shows me, you know what? I really would have loved him to go to Madrid. I think we're going to Madrid next, right? I would have loved him to go to Madrid. But I don't think Florentino wants him because he thinks he wants Tchouaméni.
And then with them, I pick Tchouaméni too.
Yeah.
And then with Mbappe. Bro, PSG, what are you doing, bro? Like,
it's not a bad thing.
What are they not offering him?
Apparently,
this guy has probably offered him his wife at this point. Anything you want.
No, they're offering they more or less made him a GM.
No, Fabrizio said it's cap.
They said that they were going to offer him, like, see on the squad and all of that.
Yeah, Fabrizio said his cap that they will consult him. Obviously, in Barcelona, you consult Messi before bringing somebody to the club. Like, that's what they're making him their franchise player, pretty much.
But that's just for 2 years. But another thing that will actually be funny is that if you know Madrid have ego. If a player rejects them twice, they're not coming back for him. It's over.
Come back for him.
It's over.
Madrid's mindset is Prota. We're in the Champions League final. We knocked you out to get you to the Champions League final. You're going to have to come back big. Like, here's the thing. Ronaldo haunted that Madrid challenge all his career. United was a stepping stone in Ronaldo's career.
Yeah.
His whole mindset was one day.
Most of his I'm players going to do Madrid. It. Most of his players do it. Most of his players do it. Even like...
And I thought that was the same mindset Mbappe had.
I don't think it's a bad mind. I don't think Mbappe is running from the grind.
Nah,
fam. I don't... Like, Madrid... Like, people think Madrid is not a grind, but Madrid is a grind.
PSG is comfortable. 2 league trophies. Every night, 8.8 on SofaScore.
Don't talk like... No, I think you know what, yeah? This late season... Like, I watched the PSG games and everything. I think those guys might be gelling. But the one thing I hope from PSG is that they finally recruit well and not recruit stupidly. You have a league where you can literally say, I want you, I want you, I want you, and everybody will run to you. And you will be the best in the world. But you're very stupid. Leonardo and Al Khalif, they're always moving mad. You could literally recruit or even use... I even saw a thing about like PSG's academy. And I was so shocked to see the amount of players. We're talking about Nkunku. Talking about, what's the other guy?
Nkunku was at PSG.
Nkunku was at PSG. I don't know. There are just so many. What's this guy? Sumari. Mm. Sumari is there from there to...
Barshish. Yuri Barshish.
It's just that it's a lot. And I just think to PSG, I'm just like, you guys have the tools. It's right in front of you. But you guys don't want to, you guys think you just want, it's just about like, you want to do a popular jingle kind of thing. You want to be popular, building a brand. But my fam, the next step to winning this Champions League is, first of all, sack Pochettino. You can't, he's not able to run that. I'm a Pochettino fan, but he's not able to run
Poch
that.
Agenda from Poch's biggest fan.
I'm not, like, he's not, like, Pochettino can't really handle that kind of team. Like, even Tuchel, the person who would have been for me is Ancelotti to win those guys.
Ancelotti is so cool, right? He's so cool.
It's Ancelotti or Zidane?
He's so cool, man.
It's Ancelotti or Zidane? Yeah, Zidane. Ancelotti or Zidane to win?
Zidane. Zidane knows how to galvanize people. You need somebody that can speak.
And these guys will respect.
And Neymar will be like, oh shit, it's Zidane that's talking. Yeah. Go and listen.
And you know what? Yeah, this is Zidane in front. Zidane in front. So when it comes to push comes to shove,
you might want to work up for France. They are picking Zidane again, over anybody.
I always tell people that, do you know how mad it is for a man to walk out of Real Madrid twice? Twice.
And if he wants to go back, they will accept
him. They will accept me again. Twice. A man walked out of Real Madrid twice. That is how you need to know
walked
that.
Walked out
man.
On Florentino twice.
Bro, you don't, like a man that is capable of doing that, you will give him respect. He will say, I don't want to go to Premier League. Nobody will disturb him. He will sit down. Like, that man with his bald head doesn't even feel like he has any problem in life.
Zidane is an idol in France. And if he goes to PSG, they're picking him over anyone. And everyone is going to want to sit down and listen to him talk. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo said that Zidane was the one talking, so he had to listen. It doesn't get much bigger than Cristiano Ronaldo.
He's going to listen to Pochettino or Ragnick, bro. Although I rate Ragnick in that situation. But Mbappe, yeah. I don't see
he's announcing his decision. Mbappe doesn't know. Sorry. Fabrizio doesn't Nobody know where knows. He's going.
Nobody knows. Because what they were saying yesterday was like...
They said Madrid are getting worried about him.
No, they were saying that Madrid were very convinced. He gave them his yes. The PSG came back again and said... Then Madrid said, then he was like, oh, I'm giving you my yes, but I'm thinking about PSG. That's a state of like, wait.
They're doing...
What no, kind of thing is this?
This guy's doing his decision.
His decision, bro.
This fall, I'll be taking my talents to North London to join Super Mikel Arteta and the Arsenal. Hey. You heard it here first.
Okay, no problem. We believe you. Believe you. That's like...
Now, I would actually respect Mbappe if he says, this fall, I'll be taking my talents to... That would be good, Ed.
Oh, to do that?
That would be good.
You know who did that kind of thing before?
That's LeBron. That's what I'm saying. That's
Antoine Griezmann did that before.
Anyway, give them back Griezmann, bro.
That guy.
Did he?
He did. He did. He said I was still at Atletico. There was a time when he was on...
Oh, yeah. I remember.
That guy kills me, man.
I remember. He did a documentary or something.
Oh, my God, man. Griezmann.
I remember.
Like,
but yeah, Mbappe, you've got that juice. Just be like, this fall, even if you can't speak English, memorize it. This fall, I will be taking my talents to. Then I'll respect you for the rest of my life.
But he's going to have to speak in French.
I know. It's tough.
But like, literally, I just... But you think Mbappe should go to Madrid?
1,000%,
fam. Because you love Madrid. I think... I just want to see... Like, I just want to see the chaos that might ensue. Because guess what? I was about to go back to Salah. That's where it'll be like... Frentino will be like, come here.
Yeah, definitely. 1,000%. I'm living but with something. To be fair... Madrid are already in the Champions League final. Uh-huh. So him going to Madrid is not necessarily him accepting the grind. When Ronaldo went to Madrid, it was peak Barcelona times.
Oh, yeah. No. There's, when I mean grind, I'm talking about the mentality of Madrid here.
Yeah, expectations. Like, everything.
This is the same Bale. Ancelotti today was telling Madrid fans that you need to give Bale a proper send-off. But they're not going to. This is the same Madrid that whistled Ronaldo from time to time to time.
Bale scored two winners for them in the Champions League final.
And guess what? They have no respect for him. That's what I'm saying. So if Mbappe doesn't supply or he goes through a run, heck, Vinicius now is one of those players. But I just see Madrid just saying that if Mbappe doesn't come, El Chiringuito. We need you, bro. Tic-tac. El Chiringuito, we need you, man. But, like, literally, if Mbappe doesn't come...
I mean, he's doing his decision 5 a.m. on Sunday.
Is it announced or what?
He's telling the world his decision 5 a.m. on Sunday.
Our time?
No. I think 5 a.m. Paris. I saw that yesterday. That's why everybody has been joking.
They said it was Saturday or Sunday.
That's why... Sunday.
No, they said it could be anytime this weekend. Like, that's what I'm saying. There has been so much...
No. He's announcing it on TV.
That's what I'm saying. On Le Foot, on Telefoot or something.
L'Equipe.
Like,
I mean, L'Equipe reported it.
L'Equipe reported it, but the same L'Equipe that changed their mind. Matteo Mercato or something like that, they were like, nobody knows. He could announce it on Saturday or on Sunday. Then somebody said, if he's announcing it on Saturday, he's staying in at PSG. If he's announcing it on Sunday... Oh, wait. PSG play tomorrow. That's crazy, man. This is all because of one player.
This is chaos. We live for chaos in the world of football.
Also, shout out Syria. You know, I'll always come here and always shout about Syria. But Syria has been very, very interesting this season. AC Milan. Sempre Milano. I need you guys in the top. I need my childhood restored. And you guys are my first hope. And you guys are top of the league. And Inter are 2 points behind you, but they face Sassuolo, who I think they're the only team that's beat everybody. So, yeah.
No, Inter will win Sassuolo.
Huh?
They would win Sassuolo.
They win Sassuolo?
Yeah.
Sakamaka. Sakamaka that keeps scoring.
Oh, yeah, he's good. He's good.
This season.
Yeah.
But, like, Inter have been doing well. Lautaro Martinez. What do you think of Lautaro?
He's a baller. I've always rated him. I don't know. Milan is playing Sassuolo.
Yeah.
Inter is playing Sampdoria.
Sampdoria are like 15th. But the thing with Syria is that you can never know. You never know. It's been a topsy-turvy ride.
And Inter have a superior goal difference.
So a draw is not enough.
Jesus
Christ.
Inter will win.
They bro, Milan has to Inter, win this
Inter
for
win.
Me.
Inter will win.
Inter will win?
I see Inter win. Sorry. Inter.
Oh, God.
No, I don't know. It's crazy.
Bro, man, I need Milan, man. Milan will just give me that childhood. What I grew up with, Shevchenko's, all of them, man. Like,
Ronaldinho.
Bro, man, I need that. Let's restore it.
Kaká, Robinho, Nesta.
You don't speak about Robinho because of what he's done. But yeah, anything?
No.
Any agendas you want to put on the table? Any fouls?
Nah, everybody has been good boys this week.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Wait. My agenda is just against Chelsea. Because now I'm going to tell Chelsea fans, be ready, strap up.
Strap up, man. American owners.
Strap up. Sugar daddy is gone.
Welcome to the club, bro.
Your sugar daddy is gone.
Drinks it's not the on the left, coats on the right.
It's not the one you want. It's not the one that when you see a player, you want him and you get him. Bro, strap up. It's
about to be a topsy-turvy ride.
Squeaky bum time, bro.
You're going on a roller coaster. And you think I'm joking because laughing.
No, literally. Like, it's not... Because the fact that this man gave people $1.5 billion as a loan and just you guys kept on running. Because there was no way they could be run.
They can't be self-sustained. And Americans love self-sustained businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to sports. Because their businesses are self-sustained.
Yeah.
There's a salary cap.
I know it's funny. There's a lot of owners in this thing, bro. It's a whole consortium, bro.
So decisions can't be made as easily as they
possible,
would be.
Man. Like, it's not like... Fam.
It is a crazy ride you're about to encounter.
And
I'll tell you what.
$1.5 billion to spend on... They have to invest $1.5 billion to spend it on the stadium. Women's team... Academy, all of this. So
I tell you what, I'm here for every single minute of your downfall.
Think it's gonna be a downfall.
As long as a downfall occurs,
it'll be a downfall. But I think it will be a point of like, oh, we have to save money. We can't like, you can't get it anymore.
That spending spree is why Chelsea are Chelsea, and losing it.
Like, exactly. Because you know that sacking managers was easy.
Need I speak? All right, cool. They're going to start doing processes now.
Trust the process. Let's begin to tell you, trust the process. We're on the trust the process. We're about to start our own next season. Trust Eric Ten Hag with Steve McLaren and Vandara, whatever.
But yeah, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Highline Podcast. As usual, I've been your voice of reason, and he's been Funto. Make sure to check us out on Twitter and Instagram.
Do you have anything special for next week? For
streaming, you just watch and see. It's going to be a full studio next week.
All right.
Thank you. Have a lovely day. We'll see you in the next episode.
Take care, guys.
Goodbye.